time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Harla Nivens.
Hey everyone, it's so great to be back with you in 2019. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump into our interview that we have for today, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. Here is a worship song by Visible Worship. Sit back and enjoy.
Crossing,
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. And I have my good friend, Jana Bell, co-hosting today. Hey, Jana.
Hey, Carla.
Y'all can't see her hair. Her hair used to be natural. Now it's like
it is still slick. Natural. We just got
it's straight the and flat slick iron. For That's 2019.
Yeah, we just tried to straighten it out. It's still fighting, but it's trying.
It looks good. It looks good. It looks good. Everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And we are very excited. I'm very excited. We've got a good friend of our family. This is Dr. Lauren Cross. Dr. Cross is an interdisciplinary artist, filmmaker, curator, and scholar whose work has been screened and exhibited across the country. Dr. Cross is currently, she is teaching at UNT.
Yes.
Right? And I'm trying to find the exact thing that you are, because it's so okay. So she is currently a senior lecturer mm-hmm. for the Department of Art Education in the Art Histories Interdisciplinary Art and Design Studies Department.
Okay, say right? that fast 10 times.
Oh my goodness.
It's a mouthful.
I love it. Yes.
So she's important, y'all. She's important. She also has a nonprofit. She's also the founder of WOCA Projects. Is that how you say it?
Yes. Or we say WOCA.
WOCA Projects mm-hmm. in Fort Worth, Texas. So Dr. Cross, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is so exciting to be here.
We are very excited.
I wonder how she had time with that long list. Thank you for fitting us in. Because
for real, y'all, you should see when I'm looking you up. This is my first question for you today, because you have done so much, and we're going to talk about. We're going to try to get through every single thing that you've done, but just expansive list of your accomplishments and your work and your speaking and teaching. It's like you are everywhere.
Yeah, it feels that way, especially right now.
Yeah. So I'm like, do you sleep and rest?
I do, actually. And I have to, because I have an 18-month-old right
now.
So I would not be able to operate if I didn't sleep. So whenever she sleeps,
that's
I
when
sleep.
You sleep. Yes.
And this is a happy time because she's sleeping through the night.
Oh, yes. Nice.
So like, yes.
This is every woman.
Yes.
She really is every woman.
Exactly.
She really is. Yes, yes, yes. Every woman. So, Dr. Cross, take us through your journey to becoming an artist.
Oh, goodness. I think that. Where did it start? I think I started to really understand myself as a creative person when mm-hmm. I was little, because I used to write poetry and I would like paint with watercolors. But I just thought that was stuff that you did to have fun.
Right.
It was no one ever said, ooh, you should be an artist or ooh, you should be a writer or anything. You know, I just thought, ooh, I just really enjoy. I feel like I can be myself when I'm mm-hmm. doing this. And then when I went to college, I was going to be a nurse and everything was going fine. But I just kind of had that inner feeling that like, I just don't really feel like this is really like what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had other friends that were like studying music and I was just like, you can do that. You know, and that sounds weird.
Yeah,
like
no,
to say
no,
that.
No, I understand.
But for me, yes. that was not. No one ever said you can study music, you can study mm-hmm. art. And I don't think anyone knew that they should say that to me.
Yes.
They just knew I was creative.
Mm-hmm.
And so with having friends that were studying music, I was like, wait a minute, I know I'm creative. You know, maybe I should be studying something that's creative mm-hmm. because I would rather be doing that than just something that I think I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a lot of soul searching. And so I thought back to those times when I was a child and I would spend hours like painting and hours just writing. And those were the times where I remember it being the most happy. And so I was like, there's something with that. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to do a test. I would take a photography course, and that would kind of be my test to see whether or not I wanted to study art. I always wanted to do photography. That was one thing I always knew. I wanted to do photography. I love studying photographs. Mm-hmm. This was just something I did on my own. And so I took the photography class, and I loved it. I did really well. And I was like, okay, I'm liking this.
Yeah.
And first of all, let me ask my professor if I'm any good at it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, can you, like, have a career doing this, or am I even any good? And mm-hmm. he was just like, well, if you're saying can you, like, have a career with this, absolutely you can, and you are good, you do have an eye. Mm-hmm. And so that was all I needed, because whether or not I needed to work hard, I was always a hard worker anyway.
Right.
So he was like, you're gonna have to work really hard at it. Mm-hmm. But if you work hard, you can do it. Mm-hmm. You can do this. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, that's all I needed. all I needed to know was it's possible.
Right.
And from that point on, it was just kind of like, you know, just went straight at it. And I've always kind of been a person who had a lot of initiative. So I found an internship working in Boise, Idaho, and was paid to be a photographer.
Wow.
And I think that was a moment that was pivotal for my parents, because mm-hmm. I think prior to that point, they were like, huh?
Right. Right.
Okay. You know that you like photography, but, like, do you really, really want to do
right,
this?
Right, right.
And, you know, they were definitely supportive, but I know that they probably were just kind of like, whoa, like, this is drastic. Because mm-hmm. at that time, people were getting, like, sign-on bonuses to be nurses. So it's kind mm-hmm. of like, you're really giving up something here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, but I just really feel like this is more of what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
And so I got that internship in Boise, Idaho. Was like for the whole summer, and it's like after that my parents were like, she's gonna be good. Like, because mm-hmm. I got it all by myself. It wasn't like, you know, I found it, applied by myself, and they were like, oh, she's gonna be good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We ain't worried about her.
Right.
And it's just been kind of on like that ever since.
Yeah.
Just working hard, you know, trying to find my creative voice and mm-hmm. all of that, you know, going to grad school. And it's just been, it's been a journey.
Yeah.
Definitely a journey.
So that really was, when you took the photography class, that was your undergrad?
Yes, that was undergrad.
So had you taken any other courses, classes?
No. I think when I was in elementary, I took an art class. And, you know, a lot of other people probably have this experience where they took an art class in mm-hmm. elementary and mm-hmm. it didn't go so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved art, and I loved art at that point.
Right.
But the teacher that I had a certain specific notion of what art needed to look like. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't my vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it really devastated me, because we had a project where we had to draw Martin Luther King. And she made me draw, like, she kept making me do it over and over and over again. Mm. And I think it kind of crushed my creative spirit because, okay. I mean, like, think about it. You're a child, and, like, this is, like, Martin Luther King.
Right, right, right.
And if she keeps saying, no, you did it wrong, you did it wrong, you did it wrong. And so for me, it was just like, you know, I'm looking at what I'm creating. And I'm like, hey, I think this is pretty good,
right,
you know?
Right.
And it was just like, it just kind of wore me out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And so I never did it again after that.
Right.
But I would do like my own little stuff.
Right.
And
right.
I won awards in elementary for art. But never like took an official class.
Okay.
They had like a district photography class, and I would always tell my mom, ooh, I would love to take that. But it just never happened because
right.
of schedule,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. So yeah, that class in undergrad was like my first class, and then it was like, then I just switched
off
cold
there.
Turkey.
Yeah. I just love that, because both Jana and I mean, we are very creative, and that's kind of, I would say, the main thing that God has called us to be. And we're kind of like that. Like, we'll just try something. Yeah. Is that like a trademark of being creative, you think?
I think so. I think being a creative person is about taking risks.
Mm-hmm.
And like to create anything, you have to take the risk of making it.
Right.
And you don't know whether or not it's going to work out or not.
Right.
But it's like, you know, if there's something in your head, you're just like, I got to make it. I got to do this.
Yes, yes.
And it's going to like torture you.
Right.
Unless you get it done.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Before we were taping the show today, I was going back through some of my old journals in 2016, actually. And I was trying to get to the beginning of like what was I thinking, saying at the end of 2016, beginning of 2017. But one of the main things was like, go, like, try, like, take the limits off of yourself, off of God.
Yes.
Be expansive and just go and try. And I think that's probably one of the things that I really wish more women would just see in themselves. Like,
yes,
I'm creative. I can do it. Let me just try.
Yes.
Just trying to see it.
You know, I think that is so true. And I talk to a lot of women a lot, and they ask me, how do you do this? Mm-hmm. How are you able to do this? And the, you know, I have no explanation.
Right.
Like, I just do it. You
right.
know? I do feel like because I went to school for art, I'm trained to just do it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Okay.
It does.
Because, you know, they give you a deadline. Mm-hmm. You got to get these 10 photos done.
Yes.
By Friday. And it's like, oh. You know, I'm going to have to do it.
Right, right, you know? Right.
So I think that going to school for art forced me to figure out a way to jump out there.
Right.
And do it or else that's your grade, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so when the pressure's on, like, I have fears just like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, when you have that deadline, I know, okay, I'm going to have to push it out. I'm going to have to do it.
Right.
So that's the one thing I do feel like has helped me from like going to school for art is
yes.
to just like I'm trained to just say, okay, there's a point where you just got to do it.
Yes.
Or else it'll never get done.
Right. And, you know, I also like what you said about hard work, because if you are creative,
yeah.
listen, you are going to work harder than
yes.
most people.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And people are going to say that. They're going to be like, do you sleep? Well, I work very, very, very long hours. And the thing I like about your testimony is that because you've combined academics
yes.
with it as well, being a professor. So kind of what led you down the path of academics?
I think that, you know, being an artist was one thing for me. But mm-hmm. then I started to notice other patterns happening where women of color or artists of color weren't getting opportunities, or they weren't even being written about in art history.
Mm-hmm.
Not in, you know, I was noticing that the literature was like very like young,
mm-hmm.
meaning like within the last 50, 60 years versus like the field of art history is like 200, 400 years.
Right.
So that's drastic.
Right.
And for me, when I took art history, I felt like, like, this is cool,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see nobody like me.
Right.
And so for me, that was problematic. You know,
mm-hmm.
I went to a predominantly African-American Latina high school.
Okay.
I was used to, like, our stories, our mm-hmm. narratives being, you know, at least, like, somewhere in there.
Yes.
And so for me, it was just kind of like, there's something missing. Like, man, like, this can't be it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I would also have these conversations with other artists of color that were in school with me, and they'd be like, dang, we're the only five. It's only five of us
mm-hmm.
in this whole college.
Yes, yes.
Like, isn't that kind of weird? Like, we'd have these, like, conversations about, like, oh, my God, it's only five of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of that just kind of stirred in me to say, like, why? Like, what's going on here?
Right.
And I would, like, just kind of do this research. And when I went to graduate school, that was the first time I had ever taken an African-American art history course.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, on one hand, I was like so excited. I was like, oh my God, like I'm learning about the art of our people. Oh
yes,
my God.
Yes.
And then another part of me was like furious. I was so upset. I was like, I am in grad school. I'm in grad school learning about the art of our people. And I was just like, there's something wrong with that.
Right.
And that's when I learned about how, you know, the literature is just not as robust, you know.
Okay.
And then also that, you know, they're just now really starting to incorporate diverse voices, women even, in art historical narratives. And so I think as an artist, I was like, well, it's one thing to be an artist. It's another thing to say, you know what, I see that y'all ain't doing what y'all supposed to be doing.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm not going to rely on somebody else to tell the narrative. I'm gonna participate in this. And I had a mentor in graduate school who was amazing artist, Renee Cox, and she and I asked her the question. I was like, what's going on in art history? Like, and you know, obviously she was probably one of the first African American artists I had ever like heard about in an undergrad course. She was like, well, I know that I'm in there, but yeah, like we're really lacking here. And so she was like, we really need people contributing knowledge.
Okay.
And that kind of was like a challenge to me of like, so I kind of received that as like, you know how you have that like unction of like, oh, that was for me.
Yes.
I need to be doing that.
Yes.
And so that's kind of where I knew that academia needed to be part of it as well.
Yeah. Wow. That's very cool. I like that. So what's the motivation behind your work, like the pieces that you create?
I think that kind of like what I said about being in art history courses in undergrad and not really seeing myself or seeing like my story, it's recognizing the power of my voice, my experience, my particular experience, and saying, hey, this experience is valuable.
Yes.
And it's a valuable enough narrative that should be a part of this art historical narrative. You know, there are, you know, there are African American women artists that are written about. But does that mean that, like, do we all as African American women, do we all identify with one another? Are we all the same? Are our stories and our histories all the same?
Right.
They aren't.
Right.
And that there's an experience that I had that's unique. And so for me, as an artist, it's about just telling what that is.
Yes.
And for those people that grew up in the neighborhoods that I did, that they may, when they go and see my art, they may connect. Because the other aspect that I found is that our communities often feel disconnected from the visual art community specifically. And so for me, it was like, well, how can I create art that gets my parents excited, that gets my cousins excited, that allows them, like them, who they are, their experiences to be a part of the narrative as well.
Yes, yes.
And so for me, it was about how can I make art like that? And that's kind of what motivated me.
Yeah.
And graduate school like made me comfortable to say like that's okay.
Yes.
And not feeling like I needed to tell somebody else's story. You know, that I can tell my own.
I love that. When you said that, the power of your voice like that resonated with me, because I'm thinking, like you said, over history, there's not a lot of people that show up. But it's not because God didn't create any African Americans with creative, but again, if they weren't given the exposure, or if they didn't have family or friends or a community around them to say it's okay. Because you know, if we lock people in and keep putting these lines up and saying, no, you can't do that. That's not for you. That's not for us. But the power of your voice, you doing this shows that, like you said, somebody else can say, hey, that thing that's inside of you, that's a good thing.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
And like you said, we all have fears. Some people's fear, like Carla and I talk about this all the time, because Carla, I love the way she's out, like, let's do it, let's do it. But for me, I'm like, wait, hold on. But that the power of her voice encouraged me to go ahead and say, you know what, I can do this, and who cares if I fail, because it's just me getting up and trying again.
Yes. And I love that you say that your experience and your voice is important. That's important enough to go and to try and to do. I hope that everyone listening to this radio show in 2019 takes that with them. They're like, my experience is important.
Right.
Let me try.
Absolutely.
So let's take a break. It's time for us to take a break. We'll press the pause button and we'll be right back.
Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration.
Every heart,
now let's get back to the
woman.
Show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host, and I have my good friend Jana Bell co-hosting with me today. Welcome, Jana.
I was trying to see. You know, I produce an Aaron who never likes to be acknowledged. Aaron. Wondered if I was going to sing today, so.
So you gave him.
I just gave him a mm-hmm.
You gave it to him.
I just gave him a
It was a good one.
Let me see.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, thank you for that, Jana.
She's like, I didn't ask for it, but. Thank you. Okay.
That was perfect. So that's a perfect segue back into Dr. Lauren Cross.
Hello.
Which is because that was creative, phenomenal. Right?
Kind of not. Off since you already wrote the song, I just kind of echoed it. So, and I'm not going to be that creative.
I'm just trying to make it fit.
It doesn't. But it's okay. Everything fits with me and Carla. Yes. So yeah, hang around long enough. I'm a natural nut. But I love Jesus and he loves me. So
amen.
Great.
Amen.
Yes, it's good to laugh. It is great,
It's great medicine.
So we just came back. Now we're ready to laugh. And now we can continue on because she has such a phenomenal story. Like, I haven't even had questions because I'm just in tune. And I'm like, I love this.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to share.
Well, Dr. Cross, I wanted to ask you this because as I travel around the world and I've done a little bit of traveling with Jana. Jana's probably done more traveling than I have. But we run into women all the time that are so talented, that either create beautiful bags or purses or jewelry or, and music as well, and other things that they do. And they want to provide for their families as we're talking to people and start a legacy for their children. So I think this is a question that these women would ask. Mm-hmm. How have you created this platform that you have now? And what would you say to other women who are thinking, okay, this is a good, your story is a good story. It resonates with them. How can they follow in your footsteps?
Yes. So this is a loaded question.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's so interesting because what I learned in graduate school specifically is that there are many roads.
Yes.
There are many journeys that one can take to be this kind of creative entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not one road that has to work for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of have to figure out what's going to work for me and my family.
Right. Right.
And when I got married 12 years ago,
mm-hmm.
we just celebrated 12 years.
Yeah, congratulations.
And so, you know, me and my husband both are artists.
Yes.
So my husband went to graduate school for vocal performance. I went to graduate school for visual art. So here we are. We're both artists.
Right.
And so we both had to figure out what was going to work for us. What worked for us may not work for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But what we found was what kind of job can we do that allows us to be creative or allows us to use our God-given talents and then still gives us room to do all this other stuff that we want to do, the creative stuff. The first job that I got outside of school was working for the Salvation Army, actually, as a PR communications representative.
Okay.
And ironically, my undergrad degree was under the communications. So it was an art, design, and media degree, but it was under communications.
Okay.
And so I had a chance to take a communications class.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that, like, okay, well, this isn't art. It's not an art job, but it's communications, and art is communicating.
Right.
And so let me see how I can work this, you know? And so working that job, it was a job where I had to learn how to fundraise.
Okay.
And I had to learn how to write. I had to learn how to promote. And I had to learn how to, I oversaw over 150 volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people would say, oh, well, you're not really working in a job that's in your field, right? And so what I said was like, well, yeah, this isn't an art job, but what I see in this job are skills that I need for an art job.
Yes.
And so what I did with that was I said, well, let me do the best that I can in this job. Mm-hmm. And all the creative aspects of it, that's what I dug my teeth into. Mm-hmm. And I learned to be comfortable talking to people, mm-hmm. which I found as an artist, and a lot of artists that I know don't like talking to people at all.
Right, right.
What I have found for the kind of artist that I am and the kind of art that I make and the kind of impact that I want to make in the community, that job was the best job I could have gotten outside of college.
Okay.
And 'cause every job that I got in art since then has required those skills. Hmm. And so sometimes it's not so much about what the job title is. It's mm-hmm. about the skill set that you're going to exactly. be developing.
Okay.
And so that was how I, you know, me and my husband survived the first couple of years mm-hmm. of being working, going to graduate school. Now, I'm also crazy because I'm also one of those weird people that will work a full-time job mm-hmm. and then have three internships at the same mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but but again, for me, I was tired of people saying, well, you have this awesome job that did this, mm-hmm. but you don't have any art experience. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, okay. There's only so many times that someone's going to tell me to
tell you that.
And
right.
I'm about to go in. Right.
Right.
And so I looked at, well, what kind of art job would I want? Right. I knew that I wanted to work in galleries. I knew that I wanted to eventually like curate exhibitions. So I did internships in museums and galleries. Mm-hmm. And then also did an internship at an art publication. Okay. I also worked for an art publication at that same time. Mm-hmm. And so it was crazy. But I said, you know what? This is a temporary discomfort because, you know, I need these experiences mm-hmm. to put me where I want to go. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we talked about, you know, there's a lot of creative people, but sometimes people don't want to work, you know, literally.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They don't want to work.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do the extra things that are going to be required of you.
Right.
And we already know, you know, as people of color, we have to like be 10 times as better. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just didn't want to give any excuse as to why I wasn't qualified for mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. And so I overdid it.
Okay.
You know, okay. some people would say, like, that's overdoing it. But for me, it was like, I love it. Like,
right.
Because
right.
now I'm a highly skilled person. Mm-hmm. And all of these things that I was able to develop, that helped me with my nonprofit. Mm-hmm. You know, the gallery that I interned with was a nonprofit gallery.
Okay.
And so I learned exactly what to do to run a nonprofit gallery.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
working for a museum in their curatorial department, I learned exactly what curatorial, you know, departments and curators do.
Yes.
And so I knew what an artist did, mm-hmm. but I didn't know the other side, the business side
yes.
of art.
Yes.
And so I got that knowledge so that I could figure that out. So sometimes immersing yourself mm-hmm. in the system mm-hmm. so that way you know how it runs mm-hmm. and you know how to better position yourself. Mm-hmm. And there's many opportunities that I've gotten over the years because of those skills that I learned. Mm-hmm. Learning how to talk to people, learning how to be relational. You know, those seem like skills, you know, they seem simple, right? But everybody doesn't do them.
Right.
And they're important. Right. They're very right. important.
And yet people ask me all the time, like, how did you get this? How did you get that? And it's like, talk to people. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm doing. This is, you know, these relationships, you
yes.
know, are
yes.
what opened up doors for me. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you didn't study art, you know, it doesn't mean that you can't pursue these things, because I see people get jobs in art all the time that didn't have art degrees. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's like any person switching fields, right?
Right.
You know, how can you use the skills that you have and apply them in this new field?
Mm-hmm. All of them work together. Like, I'm sorry, but yeah. I think about that because I know, especially with Carla and I talking to people a lot, and you know, they want to do music because or art or whatever kind of art you do. Mm-hmm. It's not, you're just not going to be sitting in a room one day. Say you're a painter. You're just not going to be sitting in a room painting all day and that's it. You have to talk to people. You have yes. to take care of your business. You have to
right.
know how to read your stuff. You know,
yes.
there's so much more. And that's one thing when we talk to people, like, whatever you're doing, don't stop. Yes,
yes.
your dream may be to do this in the art field, but learn everything
yes.
that you need so that you can go on. Like, for one job I had, I was basically an administrator, and I thought, mm-hmm. why in the world? I have traveled the world. Why am I doing this? But there is so many things that those skills are helping me with right now,
especially
Carla yes. and I working together.
Yes.
Like, Carla is like, more the creative.
Yes.
I mean, and I'm creative, but not the same level. Mm-hmm. So I
and
can
she's
take
the administrator.
Right. Yes. So I'm like, okay, what about this? I need this. I need to let's get this done. How did you call this person? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we balance off each other. You can still be creative and have other skills.
Exactly.
You don't have to be. And I think that's something that people need to understand. Just because you have a talent doesn't mean you don't have more than one talent.
There you go.
Or just because you're good at this doesn't mean you're not better at something else.
Right.
So learn everything. No job is too small. Like they said, work is work.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do what you need to do to eat. Do what you need to do. And you can still pursue your dreams. I'm not saying that you should not, like some people jump out on faith and you can, you know, just go all out on what your dream, your vision is. But key scripture, faith without works is dead. And a man that don't work, don't eat. So, I mean, you know, we got to remember that.
Yes,
some of y'all out here eating and ain't working. So that means you take it from somebody else.
Somebody else is working.
Yeah. That's mooching. Yes. So you need to work. You need to learn everything because God is, he doesn't make mistakes. Nothing happens by coincidence or accident. There is a reason. He's going to let every single thing work together for your good. So learn everything you can. Do what you have to do. Like you said, your husband and you, you had to figure out, how are we going to eat? How are we going to make
both
this happen?
Literally.
Right.
Yes.
And
yes.
we're in the Salvation Army, but you found a way to use your skills.
Yes.
Learn. And then when you got to do something else you wanted to do, now you can still apply those skills you learned here and take it over here. It's all important.
Yes.
So whoever's listening out there,
there you go.
Don't quit your job.
There you go. I love that we're bringing this out in your story because she is right. This is how we live our life.
Yeah.
Like, if we can keep one job and do another at the same time, do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's more work, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the thing. I'm not, and I think a lot of other people that are maybe listening, I'm not independently wealthy. So there are some people that study art who come from very, you know, privileged means. Mm-hmm. And so they can, you know, sit at home or they have somebody paying their bills or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That just wasn't my story.
Right.
So, what I had to say was like, well, number one, what are the requirements for me to go where I need to go?
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying, I want to be a doctor, but I don't want to get a doctorate. That don't work.
Well, you're not going to be a doctor. You don't want to be a doctor.
I'm like, but you're going to reach, because I had to go to school for 8 years, whatever people say. I said, but in 8 years, you could have been a doctor. So you're still going to be around in 8 years. So how about just work towards something you want?
Right.
And so if you have a certain kind of goal, and I actually mentor other artists as well. And so sometimes I'll meet artists who, you know, they want to have certain goals or certain ends. Like, they want to be in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be in the galleries. And I was like, okay, so I'm just going to tell you, you probably are going to need to go to school for art if you haven't already.
Okay.
Because you need to know how to situate yourself as an artist within art history.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the galleries are doing. That's what they're looking for. That's what museums are. They are literally art history in practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you don't know how to put yourself in that narrative, you're going to struggle. You know, some artists have learned how to do it by letting somebody else do it. But sometimes that doesn't always work.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't want somebody else telling your story. You need to tell your own story.
Exactly.
Right? Because we get in a lot of trouble when we let other people tell our story sometimes.
Right.
And so when you go to school for art, you learn, like, what is the span of art history and where do I fit in this? And then which narrative can I use? What tools can I use to then push myself and say, you see all these things that happen in the 500 years of art history. This is how I'm contributing to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes you stand apart from someone else is knowing how to articulate that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't always know that. But, you know, working behind the scenes
and
working with curators
and
asking them, like, what is it that you're looking for? It's not just about the aesthetics. It's not just about being able to draw. You know, do you know how to carry a narrative?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how to tell a story in your art? Those are the kinds of things that they're interested in. What is your story?
Right.
Sometimes your story is what's most interesting to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, understanding that was like, oh, okay, so I need to be good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Or else I'm not going to do anything.
Right.
So whatever your skill level is, or whatever it is your goals are, make sure you're doing what's required. There's some artists that just want to make money making art. And trust me, you can make money doing art. You can have your own booth at art festivals and you can sell your art and you can make six figures.
Mm-hmm.
I know artists that do that all the time.
Wow.
But they may not be able to get into museums.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have to figure out what journey am I really on?
Right.
Am I here to just make money? And that's what I want to do with this, which is fulfilling, by the way, mm-hmm. to make your art and be able to sell it and know that it's in somebody's home. Mm-hmm. But then for someone else, they want to be remembered like 100 years from now. Mm-hmm. I want to be in art history books.
Right.
So that's a whole nother goal. Right. Okay. So then you need to do something different for that goal.
Yeah. And I think this is a great time to bring up that you just had an exhibit in the Dallas Museum of Art.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So tell us about that exhibit.
Well, that exhibit was an interactive installation called Assembly.
Okay.
And the Center for Creative Connections has, it's a space within the Dallas Museum of Art that allows visitors of all backgrounds, ages, to be able to engage and have a more personal experience with art. And so with that experience, I had to think through, how can I create an opportunity for visitors to experience my kind of art making? And then also, like, connect it to the kinds of things that they would see in the museum already.
Okay.
So the DMA had a theme happening within the Center of Creative Connections that was objects and identity. So all of the works that were on view were objects that had some kind of identity attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And in my work, I've often used brown paper bags as a medium. And obviously, brown paper bags have a rooted historical and cultural narrative, mm-hmm. especially within African-American communities. And so it created an opportunity for me to talk about, like, why I use that material, and then to then probe visitors to think about what objects in their life have that same kind mm-hmm. of effect for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a collaborative piece where we had over 7,000 visitors that contributed drawings that ultimately became this quilt piece that I created.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so it was amazing to be able to have that kind of, to do a work that has that kind of response to
it. Yes, yeah. That is very cool.
Yeah, it was like, you know, you just never know, you know, I put out a prompt to say, okay, you know, draw your own object or mm-hmm. design your own pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't know, some people, it may be only two people that will respond, right? But so many people responded to it. And what I was really touched by was how people connected with the piece.
Mm-hmm.
There was like, they told me that there was a couple that was like their first date. And then one of their squares ended up being in the piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they like came back and like took a picture with the piece because like they were still together. Mm-hmm. And it was just became a symbol of like this moment in time for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so like those kind of things are just like, you don't always get that when you're making art,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you have people having memories. And my artwork is often about memory and about history and how it connects to memory. So those kind of things was just like, oh, my God, like that just touched me to see that people were having such a connected experience with the work.
Yeah, yeah. That, okay.
No.
I don't think I could come up with that in my head.
You know, it was just something where I had to really think about, like, what kind of piece would I want to collaborate with visitors on? And in my work, I've also talked about African-American quilting traditions. And so that to kind of help pull in that tie.
Yes.
And so for me, it was also an opportunity for me to use that as a reference.
Yes.
And what was so cool was the G's Bend quilters, the DMA had just acquired three of them during the time period where I was there.
Okay.
So I had the opportunity to write some labels for those pieces.
Okay.
And then by the time the piece, by the end of the piece, they actually installed it across from the piece.
All right.
So
all right.
It was just a very, like, you know, so that was also a part of it, too. It was like, well, how can I create a work that's collaborative with visitors that has, like, this very strong connective narrative to it that connects with, like, this amazing, like, body of work that the museum had just collected as well.
Yeah. Okay, so all of that takes some experience. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
That you need to, there are, and we say that all the time, if you're going to be creative, obviously there are so many different roads that you could take.
Yes.
And you just have to decide what you want to do. What is my passion? What, you know, like you said, what makes me happy?
Exactly.
When I do this, this makes me happy. I'm calm when I do this. I'm peaceful when I do this. So now you're giving us kind of a backside, inside look on, if you want to have your work displayed in a museum, you really do need that background. You need that, you call that curator background.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, you don't necessarily have to be a curator, but you have to have an art historical, at least an understanding of how how you can connect what you love to do mm-hmm. to a narrative that exists. Sometimes you're creating your own narrative, and mm-hmm. that's okay. Mm-hmm. But you need to be able to acknowledge that. Yes. Like, there is nothing here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so what I'm doing is I'm writing it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, but you have to be able to say that.
Right.
You know, you can't just say, oh, I'm just being creative. That don't work.
Right.
It's like, what I've looked and I've spanned and I have not seen this.
Yes.
And so what I'm going to do is make that contribution.
Yeah. 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 I like that. And I think to relate that kind of into our world, we, of course, we're worship leaders, Jenna and I are. And in that role, there's so much diversity kind of has to happen. If you're going to be a worship leader, you need to be prepared to do different types of songs and different styles of music.
Say that again.
You know?
Say that two times.
You have to be very diverse. You can't just sing your favorite style. You have to be bendable and all of that kind of stuff. And I like that you said that, you also had to get that experience of talking with people, because that is one of our main things that we have to do. And we as well are speaking to young musicians all the time. Like she said, in their living room, saying, I want to make it big. Well, you're not going to make it big in your living room. Mm. But if you can get out and if you can get some skills, then you can begin to put this platform together and tell your story, tell God's story through what you do. So we want to get to this, Dr. Cross, your nonprofit, Woka. Mm-hmm. Tell us just a little bit about it, what it is, and how we can get in touch with you.
Well, Woka started as a brick and mortar gallery, and we are no longer a brick and mortar gallery, but we still do face-to-face events and exhibitions, but mostly in partnership with other organizations, which has been really nice because it means that we can be more out there.
Yeah.
And we had a space in Fort Worth, and we operated in it for 2 years, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. We have focused primarily on the works of women artists of color because they are the most under-recognized artists within the art world. And then also in addition to that, I curate shows that allow women artists of color to speak in concert with all artists. All right. What often happens is that we get pigeonholed into these like shows where it's only just us. Mm-hmm. And what that does is that it further separates us and kind of like objects us to like, oh, they're these other artists.
So what
I wanted to do was to champion a kind of curatorial practice where we have artists of all backgrounds in the same exhibition. That sounds so like simple, right? But yet it does not happen.
So
for me, it was about creating this space where people of different backgrounds can actually speak together.
Okay. I like that idea. So hopefully at some point we will get to collaborate with you.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing in this conversation.
No, we're going to make it happen.
We want to collaborate with you.
Yes.
So Dr. Cross, tell us your website.
Yes. So I have a personal website, which is laurenecross.com. And then Woka's website is wocaprojects.com.
Okay. And then I can also tell you that if you just search Dr. Lauren Cross, there is much stuff out there.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Lauren Cross on Instagram as well.
Yes, So y'all reach out to Dr. Cross and follow her, and I'm sure we'll be doing some other things, you know, in the near future that we can collaborate. We just love this. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. Yes.
Thank you. And thank you, Ms. Jenna Bell.
Well, thank y'all.
Yeah. Good time
with Dr. Cross. All
right. Always a good time.
A great time.
Yes. Well, everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. You can also keep in contact with us on our website, ehewradio.com, and on our social media at ehewradio. Remember to check out all of our podcasts on iTunes. We podcast everything. We thank you for subscribing and leaving us a 5-star rating.
Definitely
appreciate that. You all have a great week. I am your host, Carla Nivens, and I will see you back here next week.